But right now it is time to talk about the ingredients that time forgot. Each week we have a little bit of a look at the way tables, recipes, and food have all changed across history. We're joined by Jackie Newling. She's a food historian with Sydney Living Museums. She's the author of Eat Your History. She's on the phone right now. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Nick.
Now, I feel like you're trying to stump me with this one because you want to talk about bread.
I know, and, you know, bread is just so not a forgotten food because it's our daily bread. It's part of our daily life. And yet, you know, I think most of us think of bread as being, you know, the vehicle for a sandwich filling or, you know, our obligatory morning toast. But it played a much more vital role in the kitchen, 100, 150 years ago than just a slab of bread.
What sort of a role did it play?
Oh, that's a nice pun.
Ooh,
bread roll.
I thought you'd like that.
It was also, I mean, and this goes partly to how, our bread has changed as well, and that idea of sort of not wanting to waste anything. The bread crumb was almost as important as the full bread loaf or a slice of bread. So there were particular objects, kitchen utensils like a bread grater. So these days, if you have a box grater at home, you would think that is primarily for cheese.
Yes.
But in kitchens in the 19th century, you might find yourself grating up bread to make breadcrumbs. Now, these days, we can pop them in the kitchen whiz and have them done in, 20 seconds flat. But once upon a time, it was quite a laborious job if you needed several handfuls of breadcrumbs. So it was used as a thickener. So you would put stale bread into soup to make a more thick, robust filling sort of soup. And if you go to Italy, they still have breaded soup, which is what they call it, which is basically bread, stock and tomatoes. That's something that, people were eating here, way back when, but it's something we've sort of let go, but the Italians have hung on to. You also found it instead of, if you're making a white sauce, we would now make what we call a roux, which is the butter and flour being sort of mixed together and heated, and then you slowly add milk or cream. That's a very French-style sauce with quite, it's nice, light and smooth. But the ordinary people, instead of doing that, would have been soaking their bread in milk and sort of making or in stock and thickening a sauce up that way, and they'd put that with their roast chicken or corned beef or whatever. So that was called bread sauce.
Bread sauce, I've never heard of.
Oh, it's particularly satisfying. Even if you're buying a barbecued chook, make yourself a little batch of bread sauce. It's comfort food, really.
And, of course, this was about using every single bit of the bread that we could, I'm imagining.
Well, it was. And, these days our breads have all these extra ingredients in them so that they stay soft. But breads back then, were literally flour, salt and water, and you didn't have any of those sort of, shelf-lasting ingredients, so that it would go stale quite quickly. The first couple of days is probably okay, and then you'd have to do something with this harder bread. So it sort of became an entity in itself as an ingredient. And even the crust, in wealthy households, there are recipes, for example, the Christmas pudding I make from an 1860s recipe has no flour in it. The substance of it is breadcrumbs. And so there was a lovely little poem written by Eliza Acton saying, slice the crust, let your maids eat the crust. Take a one penny loaf, let your maids eat the crust, and then, reduce it to the finest crumb. So it was really sort of... Nothing was wasted. So they would have this coarse bread soup, I suppose, with their sort of, harder crust. Because remember, it would have been wood-fired bread.
Mm.
So the crust would have been also quite tough.
I find this amazing because you mentioned the kind of bread grater before. But these days, I loved your line about you can do it very quickly in the kitchen whiz. I'd be very surprised if people weren't just ducking out and buying a box of breadcrumbs to avoid doing any of that.
Yeah, but that's quite different. So the breadcrumbs we buy in the shops is almost like ultra-dried, almost like it's been toasted.
Okay.
I'm talking about fresh bread, what we call fresh bread crumbs. So they're kind of, even though they're, you've used a 2 or 3 day old loaf, they're still quite fluffy. And they, so they absorb moisture beautifully and sort of, you know, puff up. Whereas if you use that stuff from in a box, it just turns into this sort of slurry. So we're talking two different things.
I can hear the disdain in your voice. I love it.
So if you've ever got, you know, if you've got a nice loaf of bread and you haven't got around to eating it, don't give it to the ducks. Don't throw it out. Give your crusts to your servants and put the rest through the kitchen whiz and just keep them in the freezer. And they're really handy, you know, to make thicken a sauce or a soup or to, you know, stuff a chicken as well, you know.
It sounds absolutely delicious. You've got me on the bread sauce. I'm going to have to try that.
You'll find a recipe. It's in our Eat Your History book and it's on our blog, but you'll find other ones as well. And it's really nice. It's a nice old school kind of sauce.
Jackie, thank you so much. We'll make sure that there's links to people who want to find your blog and also how to get a copy of your book on the website. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, Nick. Cheers.
Thank you very much. Jackie Newling there. She's food historian with Sydney Living Museums. Yes, she's the author of Eat Your History. It's an incredible cookbook all throughout the ages. We'll make sure there's links up on the website.